This didn't start. Start this. Okay, recording. Okay, good. 3, 2, 1. Everybody, it is Friday, October 11th, 2019. Welcome to Raging Chickens Out the Coop podcast. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken Press. This week, Sean is back. That's right, Capital Muckraker in Chief, Sean Kitchen, is here to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly in state and national politics. And this week's show, it's a free for all Friday, everybody. In part because, well, I don't know, my life is spinning out of chaos. Sean's got to get on the road to get the hell out of there. So we're just going to talk about whatever seems to kind of come up and pop into our brains. We do have a couple things just to kind of focus in on. I mean, obviously, the impeachment stuff has kicked into high gear just in the past couple days. So maybe we'll talk a little bit about that. Maybe take a look at some of the latest presidential polling. Sorry, my dog is scratching and sounding like there's a freaking time bomb going off. we've got a special anniversary that we are going to kind of pause and remember in today's second half. So that's what we've got. But before we launch into our Free For All Friday, we'll remind everybody to tune in to the Rick Smith Show on Free Speech TV this and every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can stream the show live at freespeech.org or tune in the Dish Network. Tune in on the Dish Network, DirecTV, or through the Free Speech TV app on Roku. And you make sure to listen to Rick's daily podcast. You can find the Rick Smith Show daily podcast on anywhere you get your podcast, iTunes, Podbean, I don't know, SoundCloud for that matter. Go check it out. You'll be able to track him down wherever you get your podcasts. Want to remind everybody, if we want a progressive future, we need a progressive media. You can help support Pull No Punches homegrown progressive media today. Become a member of Raging Chicken for as little as $5 a month. Simply go to patreon.com/rcpress and choose your membership level. Not ready to become a member? No problem. Just go to RagingChickenPress.org and click on the big blue donate button in the right sidebar. But the best way to kind of invest in keeping the media and the movement and the media, become a member for as little as $5 a month by going to patreon.com/rcpress today. And I'll tell you, your help couldn't be more kind of timely at this particular point. Been doing a lot of that. I actually had a long conversation a couple days ago. Yesterday and a couple days ago. About exactly the kind of thing you've heard me talk about before, about some of the kind of the difficulty in funding progressive projects on the left, that, you know, the kind of thing where, you know, you're trying to build out infrastructure and finding that it's a persistent problem to solve if that you are trying to build a kind of progressive media kind of infrastructure outside of a major metropolitan area. This has always been part of the project of Raging Chicken Press, and we are looking for, like, squarely in the face about how we kind of make this sustainable going forward. I was just saying to Sean before we kind of went on to record today, is like, I've got to find a way to kind of do things kind of a little better, because frankly, I've got no help, and kind of, you know, to get all this stuff done, I don't have time to go out and sit down with our tech guy Seth, for example, to kind of sort all this stuff out, because I've got a job I got to go do, right? That we're trying to look for kind of new writers and bring a recruiting new writers and go on, but, you know, that's always been kind of an uphill battle. So that's what we're looking at squarely in the face as we kind of move forward into 2020. Because at least from where I sit, what's going to happen in 2020 is really going to set the tone for the next couple generations. So the stakes are extraordinarily high. And we're trying to best kind of position ourselves, like, you know, how do we actually make this a sustainable endeavor? Or is it worth making it a sustainable endeavor? Because we know that, you know, sustainability means that sustainability, right? It's not just about will, it's about having an invested community in supporting progressive media. So look for some, maybe some new features, maybe some new writers, maybe some new aspects to the podcast that we're going to kind of release out through the Patreon, through our Patreon site. A bunch of stuff like this. But, you know, my thoughts are not exactly gathered together, as you can hear me talking about it already. And that's because it is a free-for-all Friday, right? So there we have it. So anyways, Sean, man, welcome back. It feels like I haven't talked to you in like 1,000 years, man.
Well, especially with everything that's been going on lately.
Holy moly. I'm telling you, it's like the time, you know, I was even just looking back over my notes, and like I can't keep track of what actually took place this week, what took place in the past 2 days, and what took place over the past 2 weeks, because it seems like I just can't keep up with it.
Yeah, so you want to hear something pretty funny?
Yeah, do tell.
The Republican Party of Pennsylvania received a $661 donation back in October of 2016.
Wait, just before you tell me what it is, I'm hoping so much that this is what I think it is. Go ahead.
And it's from a company named Fraud Guarantee.
Yes!
with the owner of the company, or the person named Lev Paranis, one of the people that got arrested, trying to book it out of the country the other night, one of Rudy Giuliani's associates.
That's awesome. That's yes. That's awesome.
And so he had his own company. So like Matthew Gaetz put this out earlier. Someone from Media, senior fellow Media Matters for America, said Lev Parnas and Igor Fruman, Rudy Giuliani's indicted associates in the Ukraine conspiracy, own a company called Fraud Guarantee and a beach club named Mafia Rave.
That's too
bad. Those are real names.
So that's just awesome.
So is Mafia Rave like the money laundering operation, like from Ozark?
Well, that's what I mean. Seriously, seriously, right? Here's the thing, though. It's like in Ozark, right? The fictional thing is like, that's better planned out than this, right? This is so like, okay, I'm going to put together my first treatment to pitch to like a major studio about a movie, and I'm going to call my club Mafia Rave. You know, it's like, that's how bad it is. I mean, it's unbelievable.
I mean, it's almost to the point where like Jacob Wall can create a better fucking narrative. No, it is absolutely astounding at how like everything is just, I mean, it's almost getting to the point where I don't know how he remains in office.
I don't know how. Look.
I mean, we've been saying this for the past couple of years,
yeah.
Right? Like on some of the things, but like this is like, I mean, like the story about Rex Tillerson coming out this week, where Rex Tillerson basically left the meeting and went to an aide, like he's asking me to commit crimes right now, and we need to record this.
Like, yeah. No. Exactly.
It's. Yeah, no, it's.
I think, I should have, if I had a little bit more time this weekend and put some more thought into just the sound drops for today, is that what I'm really bummed about is that, oh, no, I didn't actually look.
That's a felony also.
I do have one of them, right?
Going to the jail.
That's the one I don't have. I don't have the you're going to the jail.
That's a felony also.
Right? So, I mean, I'm just thinking about all these sound drops. You got to hear, like, what happened last night?
I have not paid attention at all to the news, like national news, probably over the past couple of years. I think that's like pretty much, I mean, like it's just something I decide just to like just unplug myself from and not get caught up in the grind.
Yeah.
And like I've been watching MSNBC now on my computer for the past like week and a half, just like, okay, I actually need to see like what the fuck is happening here, because it seems like every day there's like five different stories coming out, with one that's worse than the one before it.
Well, and the thing is that what distinguishes these, right, is that what distinguishes these stories is that we're actually getting like, we're actually getting documents and arrests and really concrete stuff. I mean, the fact that you're it's no longer...
We're getting to the nuts and bolts of it.
Right, too. Exactly. And this is why, you know, we've been saying for a while now that, you know, this is why that you had to pull the trigger on impeachment. And actually, you needed to go forward and say that this is actually what you're going to do. Because it gives a seriousness into the endeavor that it's not just about kind of political positioning. It's actual about building a case.
And you want to see, like, what the impeachment has done. Like, the fact that, like, Pelosi actually announced the impeachment.
Right.
I mean, you saw what happened. Their response was instantly. They all just, like, lost their minds and, like, oh, here's the transcripts. Nothing wrong. Like,
right.
Like, they went nuts. They probably went apoplectic, released stuff without, like, knowing the full brevity of what they were releasing. And now the stuff is, like, I mean, like, yeah, I mean... The text messages that got released
Messages were like, that was the most damning shit that I've that you see. And the fact you got that one dude, which I'm gonna forget his name.
Sunderland?
No, not him.
Taylor?
Taylor, who he's talking to. Right? I mean again, that was when I read those text messages, you get to that one that says like I said on the phone last night. Right? It's like, I don't think it's appropriate to exchange to hold back money for political purposes. The guy, why did you call me? You know?
He said call me before that.
Right.
And then
after that, he's like you give.
As I said on the phone in our last conversation,
right?
We shouldn't be doing this for political purposes,
right? Like, and that's where you
meddle in U.S. elections,
right? And that's where you got this kind of more kind of career political guy, right? Knowing what the hell's going on and being like, fuck this, I got to save myself at this point, and so I'm going to make it clear that I'm not part of this racket.
And it seems like that's what Tillerson did as well.
Yeah, Tillerson's interesting.
But with the Tillerson story, it's like almost like he had to leave the room. He's like, he's asking me to commit these crimes. Like, people have to know this. Like,
no, exactly. And what you're seeing now is like, again, this is the other reason why the impeachment trigger had to get pulled, right? Is because I bet you there's a lot of people that we still haven't heard from yet that are like, there's no way I'm going to kind of like put myself in the firing line unless these people are serious. If they're going to play political game, forget it.
And it's also, you think Tillerson, who never met Trump before, is going to go to jail for Trump? Like, you think an oil and gas billionaire is going to go to jail for that idiot? It's like, yeah, no. Like,
no, exactly. Exactly. Did you see Maddow's thing with the Tillerson when she was talking about when she went back to that the talk that she gave with Bob Schieffer? It was like an interview, a public thing. Did you see that episode?
No, I didn't.
Well, she was like, you know, when this happened, this is like in right after Tillerson kind of left office, there was some sort of public event that Bob Schieffer was on stage, you know, from CBS News, was on stage with Tillerson. There was a live audience, and he's asking him about kind of the experience with Trump. And, you know, and Tillerson is basically, that's where he says out loud, this is a year plus ago, you know, saying that, you know, yeah, you know, he would ask me to do things that are illegal. And I'd say, no, we can't do that because they're illegal. Right. And then he's characterizing Trump. And then he's like, yeah. And he's like, well, how did you manage that, given you're so different? He's like, yeah, you know, where I come from a highly disciplined kind of like structured organization like ExxonMobil. And, you know, and Trump does, you know, he ran things a little bit different. Like, you know, the guy doesn't like to read. He acts on an impulse. He doesn't read his briefings. You know, and so, but the, you think about it, is the fact that Tillerson was saying that then, and it really didn't go anywhere because it got caught in the mosh of stuff. And now it's things are going back to exactly, wait a minute, what exactly was he talking about? And you've got these dogged, like, journalists that have been running through the muck ever since then, now suddenly have got light, and it's kind of catching fire.
Yeah, no, I think once Pelosi announced the impeachment and the next morning, like, that just ripped open a Band-Aid that you're never putting back on. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, like, how much more of this actually comes out, because it's like, with what's out there, like, I actually listened to Pod Save America yesterday.
Oh, my God. You have been going back to, like, find out what's happening in the kind of mainstream world.
Yeah. But, like, yeah, no, like, I've been listening to Pod Save America for the past, like, few weeks, actually, just, like, since this all started. But, like, they had Maddow on yesterday. Mm-hmm. And Maddow was explaining, yeah. But I mean, like, it – and pretty much, like, what I guess Lovett said at one point was just, like, we know what in front of us is bad and is impeachable. And what this did is just rip that Band-Aid off.
Yes.
And it's like, it's like at this point, we know what's coming next is even going to be worse than what we just heard.
Yep.
I mean, like, and it's also the type of things like, does, like, what does Turkey have on Trump? What does, you know, like, with stuff that's happening in Syria, we're allowing a genocide to go on right now.
Yeah,
or an ethnocide.
Yeah. No shit.
Like, I mean, yeah, it's, it's, yeah, it's definitely fucking interesting.
Well, I mean, it's real. It's real in a way that, you know, these kind of like investigations or hearing whatever have not been until now. Like, people are going to actually pay attention. The minute you say kind of impeachment hearings, then people are going to start paying attention.
We're still in the investigation process, right? We're not when are the hearings actually going to commence?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they have yet. I mean, again, you remember the way that Pelosi set out and said that this whole impeachment inquiry is going to be organized. Right.
And I also think like there's just no way you can have this done with by Christmas at this point. With the reports that have been coming out the past couple weeks, like it's just like we're scratching the surface with this. Like it's.
Yeah. No. No. The way that they were talking about moving forward was basically saying you're going to keep everything in the committees. Right. And the committees are going to put together articles of impeachment that they're going to forward together to the judiciary. The judiciary is going to kind of come up with that list. Right. After the Ukraine story broke, then, you know, now we are actually having kind of these new articles moving forward. And then it seems to me that you require hearings on that. Right. Public hearings specifically on the Ukrainian thing and call it part of an impeachment process, impeachment investigation. And then that becomes the center part. And then again, if you still want to use that other process, that's great. You pull together the most egregious examples. Right. You know my position on this. You pull the most egregious examples that are coming from these other ones. You kind of fold it in. You put the Ukrainian stuff and especially what's unfolding now. You put that right up front. You put the other ones kind of
obstruction is going to be second or third.
It has to be.
I mean, we were talking about you were saying like, I mean, I'm okay. Like, I don't know if I'm the enforcement mechanisms in the House is there, but it seems like it's pretty weak from listening to like what has been said on the podcast, like Pod Save America this week. Like, I don't know. I'm just okay. Oh, you're not going to comply with us. Okay. That's a article right there. Like obstruction, like process crimes. Boom. Like, okay, you're not going to go along. Okay. We're going to impeach you over this. We're going to make it worse for you because I don't know. I mean, I feel like they don't give a fuck, and you fine them $1,000 a day. That's not really going to do anything to them.
No, but look, it's
unless it creates a public record.
Well, this is kind of what I'm saying, right? You basically you have to put everyone on notice. You put everyone on notice that's going to refuse to do this. They have to make a choice, right? They have to make a choice because look, you're either going to what happens? All right, let's back up. If you have people that have information that want to come forward and talk about it. And then you have a State Department that says, you know, hey, no, you're not allowed to go do this. Or the Trump administration, no, you're not allowed to go do this. But you have you know that the Trump administration and the State Department under Pompeo is acting kind of like illegally, right? At the very least, unethically, right? You have to make a choice as a human being, right? You basically say, okay, they're telling me I'm not going to testify. Well, I'm going to go forward and testify anyways, right? Or I'm going to hold back and hope for the best that this is not going to lead to, you know, serious problems. And this is just being demonstrated what's happening right now in Syria, right? Because, I mean, you're talking about real people getting slaughtered as the direct result of a kind of like offhanded kind of like shift in policy with relationship to the Kurds in Syria, right? And so as a human being, like, do you say, okay, Trump told me no, so therefore I'm going to abide by his wishes, or do you break rank, right, and take the risk there, right? I mean, I really think that's what's going to come down to is people are going to have to say, like, look, they told me not to testify, I'm going to do it anyways, right?
Yeah.
And do it in freaking public, right, so then you have the protection of the public.
Well, that woman is doing it seems.
Is she testifying? She's supposed to testify this morning. Is she on?
I don't know if she's on TV. I thought it was a closed-door session.
Is it a closed-door session? I mean, I was wondering. They were saying last night she's supposed to testify. I was wondering if at the last minute, just like they've done before, you get the Trump administration is going to pull the pull the trigger on, you know, barring them from testifying.
But she arrived in the House, so.
Well, that's good news. That's good news. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Good. Good. But, I mean, so, this is just – it's –
And then I guess we can, transition a little bit, because I was following my state congressman around.
Before we get there, because we have a special lead-in, so we're going to have, before we go, we have to have a special lead-in to really set the tone for that before we get there. But I want to get your thoughts on just kind of like just a couple more things. We didn't get a chance to talk last week, this has been kind of, you know, obviously it's not front and center given everything that's happened with Ukraine right now, but last week we had Bernie Sanders was hospitalized, right? And there's big questions about what's kind of happening with that campaign. There's, you know, he's come out, he's come through fine. There's all sorts of kind of medical test, you know, people, medical experts basically saying, look, this is a procedure, this is a fairly common one, he's gonna come out healthy, he's gonna make sure that he's kind of in the ground running, and he's gonna keep on going forward. I'm just curious about your thoughts about, you know, how do you think this is going to affect the campaign, or if people are just gonna kind of like blow past it?
I don't know. I think this is actually detrimental to the campaign. I think it highlights the points that we have three really old people running for office right now, including Trump and Biden. And it's, I feel like that's an issue, but I also feel like, you know, a debate happened that I saw online. I thought was pretty bad take on everything, where they were pretty much blaming Sanders for not cultivating a candidate to run for office this year in his place. And I said, like, that who is he going to do for that? Like, who's he going to cultivate in such a short time? Where, I mean, like, even if he does not win, he's fundamentally transformed the politics within the Democratic Party. Like, that's just one thing there. Like, transform the movement. Like, is he responsible for grooming a candidate? No. Who else has a brand out there like Bernie Sanders?
Well, and
who has spent decades building that brand to get to this point? I feel like there are progressives out there who are qualified to run. I mean, I think Ro Khanna is going to be really good, like a really important name. I mean, like, and Sanders has put those people on his staff and his advisory panel, but like, there's no one in the movement who is as close to as running for president as Sanders or as prepared. Well, I mean, and Warren, yes, I'll say besides Warren.
So let's just say this too, as well, is like, you know, this is one of the things that I didn't see that whole debate you're talking about, but I saw clips of this and some discussion of it. But the if it's what I'm thinking, where was that? Was that on?
It was on Twitter.
It was on Twitter. Well, somebody was talking about the Twitter back and forth. Then this is kind of, or maybe just a very similar. Thing. Anyways, so here's my point. My point is, like, once again, and this is a point that we've made on this podcast quite a bit, is that this is where the sole focus on the presidential level tends to miss a whole bunch of stuff, because we should remember that, you know, when these people are criticizing Sanders for actually, you know, not cultivating a candidate for president, we should remember that after the 2016 election, Sanders and his organization was everywhere cultivating candidates, right, at the kind of House of Representatives and state level. Yeah. I mean, for Christ's sake, you had Greg Edwards right here in Lehigh Valley, like running for a seat here, and Bernie Sanders showed up to those events, right? He showed up kind of like, you know, out.
Showed up
like,
Jess King.
Jess King.
Up too.
Yep, exactly. And in my mind is like that. I don't know how you more effectively use your brand and your organization than actually taking part in building stuff kind of at the local and grassroots level. I mean, for me, that's like a huge achievement. And I think that, you know, it does take a while for people to kind of come up with the presidential stuff. And I think that, you know, the big question now is how many people are going to break towards Warren to actually say, okay, look, even if we really want Sanders, we're concerned about not that whether or not he's actually healthy, right? Because it seems that his health is pretty good, right? Especially after this, he got everything cleared out. But worrying that that's going to be an impact on just like how his campaign is going to be framed, and then break towards Warren and kind of at this particular point. I mean, I don't know. I think it's maybe too early to really see how it's going to shake out. I just hope that it doesn't go into like, you know, demagoguery areas. But
yeah.
Just out of curiosity. Cool. Because we do have the next debate coming up on the 15th, and we've seen some new polling that's come out over the past couple weeks, and particularly the last few days, actually, this week, where you see actually Warren basically nudging out Biden and Sanders in these national polls. Now, again, the national polls, that's not how we elect presidents. We do it through state by state. So that kind of matters. But even, at the national level, for the first time, you have Warren up in several of these polls. You see her ahead in some of the kind of local polls, like Biden, who was way ahead in, say, for example, Wisconsin, right? That is kind of he's dropped quite a bit, and Warren is now only 6 points behind.
You know, I also think about, too, it's going to be interesting to see how impeachment affects these polls with the candidates coming up, because it looks overwhelmingly that American public is with the Democrats on impeaching Trump.
Yep.
So, and 50%, 49% of the people are supportive for impeaching and removal.
Yep.
That's
enormous.
You have 50% of the country. Before everything came out this week, this is just based on Ukraine revelation breaking. This isn't about the unraveling that's been happening. 50%, support impeach and removal. You have 20%, 25% Republicans support impeachment. There's campaigns out there like Biden campaign, Buttigieg, they can't come around to impeach. They think it's going to be worse off. It's the American people's there. They want the impeachment. Right. Campaign on it. You have like a gimme at this. Don't focus your whole entire campaign on impeachment, but you have a gimme.
Right. And that becomes this is what Sam Cedar's been saying on the Majority Report now for a while, basically coming out, they're saying, look, this is the thing that is, this is another reason why it became so important to actually pull the trigger on impeachment, because now you basically effectively nationalize all these local campaigns. Right. So now it becomes a question of how did you vote? Did you vote to hold him accountable or not? Right. I mean, that becomes part of what happens in those campaigns. You're right that it can't be all about that. Right. And there's all about kind of what the issues are and things like this. But now you basically put all these Republican candidates on their heels. Right. So.
Yep.
Crazy. All right. So listen, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to have a little it's going to be a little bit of a solemn moment. For this special day of remembrance. Okay. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken Press. We'll be right back right after this quick break. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken Press. For the past 7 years, Raging Chicken Press has brought pull no punches, progressive reporting, and commentary to the interwebs. Our long-form investigative pieces, stories that no access journalist wants to touch, or rollicking weekly podcasts strive to advance progressive movements and perspectives rooted in the struggles happening across the country or down the street. We've broken national stories and caused our share of discomfort in the halls of power. If we want a progressive future, we need progressive media. And you can help support Pull No Punches, homegrown progressive media today. Become a member of Raging Chicken Press for as little as $5 a month. Simply go to patreon.com/rcpress and choose your membership level. We need to make sure to keep the movement in the media and the media in the movement. Best way you can do that is to become a member of Raging Chicken today by going to patreon.com/rcpress. Thank you for your energy, your encouragement, and your support. Keep up the fight.
Your people said that I've raised the right white flag. Well, Governor Wolf, let me tell you, between now and November 6th, you better put a catcher's mask on your face, because I'm going to stomp all over your face with golf spikes, because I'm going to win this for the state of Pennsylvania, and we're throwing you out of office, because you know what? I'm sick and tired of your negative ads. So, Governor Wolf, I am bound and determined. I'm going to vote you out of office The people of Pennsylvania are going to vote you out of office on November 6th.
Yes, everybody. So, 1 year ago today.
It's like the scene from, it's like the scene from, brain farting on the movie right now. Gangs in New York. It's like the scene from Gangs in New York when they're having the party and Bill the Butcher is having that toast to Priest on the day of his death. Love it. So tomorrow is the 1 year anniversary of Scott Wagner's infamous meltdown, where gotta give it to the man. Well, I gotta give him a special thanks.
Gotta give him a special thanks. Sean built his personal brand off that, which is pretty great. not just that, but that was Wagner. Gave us a lot of good memories. And one of the best was when he lost his absolute shit at a billboard. And that was outside one of his
either like on the way to his house or on the way to like Penn Waste or from Penn Waste or his house to on 83.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, if you have not seen the video, if you were, you were hiding out under a rock for a while when that happened, we're going to put a link in the show notes today. When he went and basically stood before that billboard and said that he's Governor Wolf, you better put a catcher's back on your face because you're a stomp on it with golf cleats. And I think that was officially the last death nail of the campaign.
It's the last we heard of him.
Yes. Yeah, so it's been a love-hate relationship, everybody, with Scott Wagner. I mean, he was a gift that kept on giving when it came to his absolutely insanity and his just horribleness as a human being. But thank you also, Scotty.
Yeah, so I was going to move into another Scott.
Yeah, go for it.
My congressman, Scott Perry. I've been following him around a couple times this week. He talking about impeachment. He supports impeachment, but impeachment of a different kind. Did you see the impeachment he signed on to?
No, please do tell. Oh, wait a minute. Was it the impeachment of I know what you're talking about. Of the impeachment, just because you're going to say I know you are, but not. I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I? That one.
Yeah, it is like so. He had the So right. he's supporting the impeachment of. Adam Schiff.
Yes.
Which I'm sure will go real far. Will sink like a lead fucking balloon.
Yeah. Not for the least of which is nobody even wants to go through a hearing and having to kind of talk about Adam Schiff because the guy is I mean, he may be doing his job, but he's not exactly the guy that keeps you awake.
I feel like the best thing when he did that, that impersonation of the transcripts.
Yeah.
Of in the mob voice.
Yeah.
Just like
that was good. I give it that. Yeah.
People got Dems on the people on the left side got mad at him for that, but I thought it was an awesome messaging.
That was fantastic.
Board. Yeah. But no, so Scott Perry, who has not had a real town hall in the Harrisburg area in almost 2.5 years now, had a couple public appearances in Harrisburg this week. One, it's amazing for someone who wants to drain the swamp, decided to go to Charlie Giroux's weekly policy briefing on Wednesday morning and was a guest there and spoke there. Charlie Giroux is a Republican strategist who's been around with Roger Stone and Grover Norquist and all these people for decades. And going back to Reagan. Before that, going back to Nixon, pretty much. Perry spoke there for about a half hour in front of some of the most powerful lobbyists. He apparently was at town hall.
Apparently. What kind of town is it? Gated community. That's what that is.
It's a very white.
White and right?
Yeah. So... so I had a couple really good interactions with people as they were walking by this week too. One person won't go unnamed. Well, a couple of people here will go unnamed.
I know you pissed some people off this week. I do know that.
So I didn't tell you this story. I'm sitting outside with a coffee shop with Roxbury. We're sitting outside Little Lamps watching people go into Quantum, which is Charlie Drew's company on State Street. It's like literally like three. It's like shooting fish in a barrel. Mm-hmm. You sit outside on these coffee tables with your camera, and you just see people walking in. So one guy came up, asked Roxbury for an interview. And Roxbury goes, "No, you're not important enough. You're irrelevant." And
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. And this is someone who, like, I've been feuding with on Twitter for a bit. And so I'm on my phone, like, trying not to laugh, like, fake phoning at the point, like, fake texting.
Yeah.
And I'm looking down at the ground, and he's walking by. And he's like, "Oh, you two are just going to shit on me on Twitter like you always do." And Roxbury responded, goes, "You do it to yourself with the stupid videos you're always posting online." He's like, "You post one video, gets 90 views. Sean takes it, reposts it, and it gets 14,000 views."
Sounds like "What's there to say except you're welcome?"
Yeah. And then I had a spokesperson come up into the Capitol yesterday while Scott Perry and Terzai and everyone else was having a gab fest with people from the Republican, from the Trump administration. Basically, the Trump administration is spending $800 million on a new warship to get Scott Perry reelected and so Trump can win Pennsylvania. And they're named at the USS Harrisburg. Mm. So
yeah, it's going to work.
Yeah. But had someone come up to me
in a classic classic Trump thing. They're gonna probably try to say, "Yeah, we're gonna dock it in the Susquehanna." You can see how that works.
I heard it's actually gonna be a barge to help people from the West Shore to get over to the East Shore, or no, people leaving Harrisburg and getting across the Susquehanna as fastly as possible.
There you go.
Because the barge will probably be faster than the bridge traffic.
There you go. There you go.
So, and then I had a spokesperson come up to me in the Capitol yesterday before this and basically asked me why I'm an asshole to him once.
"You're mean! You're mean! You stop being so mean!"
After I publicly called out their salary.
"You're so mean!"
But no, I have a rule. Stupid tweets get stupid responses.
"You're just me." I don't know who I'm going to tell, but I'm going to tell somebody on you.
Yeah, pretty much. But I had a fun week.
Yeah, well, very good. Very good.
It's been slow, so I had to find some way to, like, fill my time in Harrisburg.
So just, you know, so you decided you're just gonna, like, just poke at people? Is that that's what it's been, basically been?
Poke around.
Poke around.
Snoop around.
"Oh, was that your eye? I'm sorry."
get myself more familiar with another Scott.
There you go.
I'm sure he'll get to know me pretty soon.
Oh, if he doesn't know you already, he's probably been warned. It's probably more.
Doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, there's this guy's named Sean Kitchen. He's mean.
Be careful of him because he's mean.
It didn't stop Mike Terzai.
No, that's true. That is true. That is true. That is true. That's a very, very good point because, you know, Terzai is like, "Are you freaking kidding me, buddy? Are you really serious? This is what you're going to do." Oh, my God.
So
that's
pretty much all I have.
Yeah. So, well, I just got a couple quick things. I'll give you the update for Free Will for this week. We've got they do have their coffee oatmeal brown ale that is kind of ready. They've produced kind of quite a bit. That was already. That'll be ready to come out tomorrow, which would be it's really good. That's actually one of those beers that they've produced every year that's it gets better each year. I'll be honest, when I first had it, when they first came out with it, I was, you know, I love stouts and darker beers and things, so I was really excited about this one, and I wasn't a huge fan of it. I had it, like, you know, kind of more recently, and I was like, "Whoa, they've really done some great stuff with this. So that's a really nice drinking beer. They also have, also coming out tomorrow, is they have a new, I believe this is a new beer. It's called Cash Applications. It's a hazy IPA brewed with flaked oats and milk sugar. And it's hopped with Motika, something like that.
Motika.
There you go. And lemon drop, and has notes of parfait, blueberry compote, sweet clementine, and grape gummies. And it comes in at 7.3 ABV. And last but not least, tomorrow also available. That's going to be available. I think this is on tap. I'm not sure if it's in cans. There's a brand new farm wholesale that's just on tap in both locations. It's called Some Earthly Delights. It's a how do you say it? Footer. Aged grisette with ginger, lemongrass, and grains of paradise and jaggery sugar. It's a mixed culture farmhouse ale, and it's got some kind of cool stuff. I heard some kind of talk about this one coming out. I'm really interested to try it. It's a very light one. It's got very drinkable, sessionable. It's 4.4 ABV. That one is available only on tap beginning this week. So there's my update from there. The only other thing I got to add to today's kind of end of the show is that now I get to go and kind of like wreck a deck today. I was like, you know, it's funny. It was like for my birthday this year, what my wife was going to do. So we have a bunch of projects that we're trying to get done in the house. Like because of all the rain last year, you know, we had a deck that was, you know, had been put on our house well, you know, well before that we moved here. And it was probably like two owners before. And so it was kind of getting old. And, you know, we've been staining it every single year because, you know, some of the grooves are getting kind of like really grainy. And we're starting to get some rot in some places. But we thought we could have a couple more years out of it. Last year, given how just like absolutely insane the rain was all through August and through September, that just the places that were had a little bit of, you know, softness to it would just kind of open up rust. We have to replace it. And then so my wife says, you know, listen, you know, we didn't get to it this summer. So, you know, why don't, how about for your birthday? If we just get somebody to kind of, you know, do the deck. All right. I'm like, that would be awesome. Right. So we had somebody come in and give us an estimate. And we looked at that estimate and we're like, that is not awesome. So I have a 4-day weekend this weekend. So I am just right before this podcast today, we had a kind of deck materials delivered, and I'm going to be ripping up a deck and kind of replacing it. So that's what I'm doing.
One last thing I want to say, yeah. Point out an article. If you are in Philadelphia, do not drink La Colombe coffee anymore. Did you hear what happened? This week, so La Colombe, the owners of La Colombe, have they signed on to an agreement that they would pay their workers $15 an hour as a campaign to raise the minimum wage. Mm-hmm. So a couple weeks ago, a bunch of baristas from all across Philadelphia start a spreadsheet, an anonymous spreadsheet, to put their wages, their location, their employers down, what type of benefits, tips, and what type of assistance that they are eligible for. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that La Colombe, a bunch of La Colombe employees, said they were making $9 an hour as a base wage, and that the owner here was using the tips to cover the $15 an hour. Yeah. So instead, so the he got shamed this week by Juliana Reyes, who is the labor reporter over at the Inquirer. She does a lot of really good work, and definitely something to keep an eye out.
Absolutely, man. Well, there you go. Take that off your shopping list for this week. and remember, if you ever want any kind of coffee, right, you can always go right to Just Coffee. They're based out of Wisconsin, and they are a cooperative. They've been kind of supportive of left movements. They've been supportive of international left movements. JustCoffee.coop. Go check them out. We're not getting any money from them. I just buy all my coffee from them now. So there you go. Anyways, anything else for the good of the order, Sean?
No, that's it.
All right, man. Well, hey, have a safe trip home, and we'll see where we go from here.
All right, I'll see you later.
All right, take it easy, man. This is Kev Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken Press. I'm signing off until next week. Hopefully it's a little bit more kind of sane around here. And, yeah, we'll see you then. See ya!